So good to see you here this morning. Welcome. Welcome to worship, especially if you're a guest with us today. We're so glad that you're here. And we're very excited because next week we kick off something that we've been anticipating for a very long time, Studio 252, which is a shared worship experience for children and their parents. Children bring their parents to church here, and it's designed just for them. Where we have new times starting next Sunday. Our first worship service will start at 9. And Studio 252 for kids and their parents will start at 10:30, and then our second service will start at 11:30. And so if you're the parent of an elementary age child, please keep that in mind. We'd love for you to come back next week and stay for the 10:30 service. There'll be child care for preschoolers called The Bridge in the cafeteria, so that'll be available for you. If you haven't experienced or heard us talk about it at all, it's going to be a beautiful experience. We're going to be doing that every week during the school year. It'll be filled with drama, storytelling, characters that your kids will love, and music that they'll enjoy. And so we invite you to come back next week for that. We're kicking off a new series this morning called Treasure Map. And the reason we're doing that is because we feel like that everything in our lives, really, every practical thing in our lives, God has something to say about it. And so the Scripture has something to say about every aspect of our lives, including our finances, including the way that we operate or don't operate, including how healthy or unhealthy we are in terms of our personal finances. I don't know that I've ever sat under a sermon series or really an extended Bible study where I heard someone really talk about personal finances. Now, I've heard a lot of sermons about tithing, but I've not heard a lot of sermons about how to be responsible with my finances. And so we're going to kick that off this week, and hopefully we'll all learn something together. And so we've decided to call this series Treasure Map, because there's a place that we're trying to get to, and there's a place where we are, and there's a journey in getting there. Okay? And we're going to talk about that over the next several weeks. Now, what we're going to talk about this morning is finding out where we are, because that's kind of the first step in figuring out where we need to go, is really finding out where we are. Now, any time that you ever hear about treasure, there's going to be a map involved, usually. That's true in every kind of movie that you see, whether it's a pirate movie, or if it's an old western, or if it's a deep sea exploration looking for sunken treasure by some pirate ship that sunk or something that happened like that. There's always a map involved. And so that's what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks. If you go to the mall and you know that store that you want to get to, you know, and you're kind of disoriented, you really don't know. You know the store you want to go to, and so you start looking for that map. You know, you start looking for that big map. Let's just go find that map, because on that map, remember, on that map, there's usually a big red star, and it says, you are here, okay? This morning, what we're going to be talking about is trying to find that red dot for us financially so we can answer the question, where am I? So that maybe through the course of these next several weeks, we can at least figure out you are here and this is where we want to go. But let's just figure out where we are first. So that's what we're going to be talking about. If you've ever gotten lost by using a map, it's probably been because of one of several reasons. Either you had a bad map or you had a good map, but you made a wrong turn somewhere. It happened to us. We were headed to Fort Worth and we were 50 miles from New Orleans. I don't know how that happened. We had a good map, but we made the wrong turn. Sometimes you get distracted. We start out knowing where we are, and we're confident a lot of times where we are, and we're confident of where we want to be. But it doesn't always mean that we're going to take the right path. Being confident and being self-assured is no insurance about not getting lost. Does that make sense? There's a lot of times that we're confident, we think, in where we are. We're confident, we think, in where we're going, but confidence is not insurance in getting where we want to go. So we're going to talk about a map to healthy personal finances. You may be someone who feels pressure. You're not sure if you're moving in the right direction, not sure if you know where you are financially. Here's the thing. Of all the areas of our lives, our personal finances should be the easiest area in our lives to not be lost in. Does that make sense? Of every area in our lives, personal finances should be the easiest. There should be no mystery about our money. Why? Well, if you begin to think about relationships, sometimes that involves emotions. It involves a lot of intangibles. If you talk about romance, you talk about mystery. If you talk about emotions, you may talk about mystery. If you talk about relationships, you may talk about mystery. But when it comes to our finances, there's no mystery with money. You know why? Because you know exactly what's coming in, and you know exactly wherever you're sending it. So there really is no mystery. It's all just kind of there. It's in numbers. And we're the ones who control it. There should be no mystery. But for so many of us, there is this unknown when it comes to our personal finances. And where there is fog, and if somebody was asking us, you know, where are you? And we'd be like, I'm pretty much sure that most of it goes here, maybe most of it goes here. But when there's a fog, there's confusion. And fog leads to confusion, and confusion usually leads to conflict. And it has nothing to do with how much money you make. You can be lost with a little money. You can be lost with a lot of money. Sometimes it's increased income that gets us lost the most. It's that statement of, I'm not really sure where I am financially. And that may be exactly where you are today. I've heard this a lot. You know, people say this, and I've said it myself, you know. Man, I just don't know where it all went, you know. I saw it come in, and now I look at my bank book, and it's all gone. But where did it all go, you know? What happened in between? I really don't know. I mean, I'm guessing it probably went to this or that, or it seems like it probably went to this or that, but there's kind of a fog, you know. It's kind of a confusion. Sometimes it leads to conflict. I love these statements by Andy Stanley. He talks about finances, and he talks about how you can know if you're lost when it comes to your finances. Listen to these. If you spend more than you make in a year, you're lost. Okay? If you spend more than you make in a year, all right? As we're trying to figure out, here you are, all right? You may be going, I'm not there at all. I'm out here somewhere, okay? So let's just figure out where we are. If you spend more than you make in a year, then you're off the trail somewhere, all right? If you don't know whether or not you're spending more than you make in a year, then you're lost. If you don't care whether you spend more than you make in a year, you're definitely lost. If you owe more on your car than your car is worth, not a lot of laughter. You're probably lost. And we've asked that question before, you know. How did this happen? I didn't intend for this to happen. I didn't intend to owe more than it's actually worth. I mean, I sell this, I'm in the hole. How did that happen? If you don't know how much you owe on your car, you're lost. If paying the minimum on your credit cards is a way of life, then you're lost financially. If you think paying the minimum on your credit card is good financial planning, you're lost. And there's a lot of people who think that that is a good financial plan because somewhere along the line, and for a lot of people starting college, somebody sold you the idea that you can have all these cards and all you need to do is max them out and pay the minimums and you'll be all right. If the only money you're saving is the money taken out of your check, you may be lost. If you aren't sure if you're saving enough, you may be lost. If you don't know how much you owe overall, you're lost. If you have no method of tracking where your money goes, I think it probably went here. I'm not really sure. I'm guessing it went to this, but I'm not really sure. We make plenty, but we have no way of knowing where it went. If you don't know where you are, you're never going to be able to get where you want to go. If you have a financial dream but no plan, then you're probably lost. Probably a lot of us started out at 20 years old, and we had a plan, you know. It's going to get rich. I mean, that's all it is, you know. And then there's about 25, you got a plan, but, you know, it's not really working out. And you get turned 30, and you think, well, I still got that plan. Someday maybe things work out. Maybe one day if everything works out. Then you get about 35. You, well, maybe someday, one day. Then you get about 40. and you go, I got more behind me than I probably got in front of me. And you're thinking, it's time to get serious. And we begin to realize that we have financial dreams, but we don't have a plan. And that's where we have to wake up. Let me say this. If you have a combined income of $75,000 a year and you feel significant financial pressure, you're probably lost. Because if you have a combined income of close to $75,000 a year, you're one of the wealthiest people on earth, not just in this country. You could go to any country on earth and you would be one of the wealthiest people there. Well, why would someone who's one of the wealthiest people on earth feel any financial pressure? And do you know where the pressure comes from? And this could be offensive. It's artificial pressure. You're thinking, well, it's not artificial for me. It feels real. You know? The reason that you feel pressure is because you've created a lifestyle that's placed yourself under pressure. And you did it when you made 20, and you did it when you made 50, and you did it when you made more. And others would look at you and think, 75? Dude, if I could just make 75, well, I'll just throw a party for the whole neighborhood. You know, I'll give half of it away. If you're making financial decisions you hope your spouse will never discover, you're double lost. If you're making financial decisions you hope the IRS won't discover, you're lost. And for those of you who probably didn't laugh at that, did you ever think that you would ever get to the point that you were doing things financially you hope nobody else found out about? Why would we talk about this in church? Why would we talk about this for several weeks? Now, some people I know, well, it's offensive. They would think that, oh, that's two things we shouldn't really mix, you know? Talking about my checkbook and talking about that at church really shouldn't go together. I just want to ask you to just kind of bear with us for these next few weeks and just consider the possibility of being open to what the Bible has to say about your personal finances. Why would we look at that? Why would we talk in this arena about our personal finances? Here's why we have to talk about it in church. Because you cannot wholeheartedly be a follower of Jesus Christ and be lost financially. You can't. The Bible has too much to say about it. You can't wholeheartedly follow the Savior to whom you say, here is everything, I give you everything, God, and be completely oblivious or be lost in terms of this area of my life. It's like forgiveness. The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. It says that, you know, it says that we need to not harbor anything toward another person. If we harbor something toward another, we need to forgive that person just as God's forgiven us. Same kind of principle. You can't love Jesus and hate your brother. Does that make sense? You can't say, I give Jesus everything and yet hold on to this one area of my life. A big percentage of what Jesus taught was about finances. Listen to this. If we took everything that Jesus said about salvation, heaven, and hell combined, Jesus said more about money than he did those three things. Matthew 6:21 says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a simple principle. It's true. It's like saying the sky is blue. It's like saying you're going to breathe in and out today. It's like saying that birds fly. It's a simple principle. Jesus says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If this principle is true, then wherever I send my money is what I value. Listen, my heart is connected to my money. My heart is connected to the stuff that I have. If our personal finances are out of whack, then our heart is right there in it. Do you see that? How can we give Jesus our heart when our heart is upside down because our finances are upside down? And he would say, you can't follow me if your personal finances are out of whack and you refuse to look at them as to how I speak to them, then you can't follow me wholeheartedly because it's a big part of your life. Luke 16:13 says this, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, if someone were to ask you this question today, you cannot serve both God and blank. And you're thinking, well, it's the opposite. What's the opposite? Well, if somebody asks you that question, you might say, well, you cannot serve both God and Satan. That's the opposite. You know what Jesus said the opposite? You cannot serve both God and money. Why? Your heart and your money are linked together, and Jesus recognized that the number one competitor for His affections when it comes to our life, our time, our energy, our love, our resources, the number one competition is our stuff. Jesus knew that. That's why He talked about it so much. We can't serve Jesus and remain lost financially. Proverbs 22:7 says this, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." You know what it talks about? Our servitude. Who is it that we're serving? Are we serving the lender? Are we serving the person who holds the mortgage? Are we serving the person who holds the debt over us? Because that is where Jesus said our heart is attached. Who do we serve? You hear what I'm about to say. I want you to hear this, especially if you're a guest today, especially if you're someone who's trying to figure out if this is a life you want to walk with God. Jesus isn't so much as interested about getting your money. He's much more interested in capturing your heart. Does that make sense? Our hearts are linked to our personal finances. If you're a Christian today, and you're coming here today, I mean, if you're not a Christian and you're thinking about, you know, this may be one of those sermons where you go, "Good Lord, I turned the TV on, that's what they talk about." Here's the good news if you're not a believer today. The only time Jesus asked for money that I can see in Scripture is one time He asked for a coin for an illustration. He wasn't as interested about having your money. He was much more interested in trying to keep... He wasn't as trying to get people's money as He was in trying to get people to not let their money get them. Does that make sense? That's what He taught. That's what He lived. That's what the Scriptures talk about. Money is a spiritual issue. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says this. It's a great passage. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor." We sang some of those words earlier. "For everything in heaven and on earth is yours." Everything. In the Hebrew, you know what that word means? It means everything. Everything. Everything that we have, everything is His. It all belongs to Him. He owns it all. And you can't divorce your money from your devotion to Jesus. And when we do, this is what happens. When we begin to divorce our money from our devotion, we say, these are really two separate areas of our life. You know, I'm going to make and spend as I please, and I'm going to say, "Jesus, I'll follow You with everything else." And then just practically, as we think about it, how much of what we make and we spend do we send through the filter of prayer and say, "God, what is it that You want for me? What is it that You want for Yourself?" And what happens is when we begin to divorce our devotion to Him and money, this is what happens. One or two things begins to happen. One thing is this, is that we end up getting into financial ventures or we have financial deals and we ask God to bless it. You ever done that? You know, there's a financial deal that you're trying to make. There's something you want. Oh, God, just please let it happen. Probably happens at the craps table all the time. You know what I'm saying? Probably happens at blackjack like a million times a day in Vegas. But it happens in our lives, too. You know, "Oh, God, let this come through." Now, I remember one time, and this is a, you know, self-disclosure here. We bought and sold several houses in our lives. There was one house we bought in the town that we lived in before we came here, and it was just one we really, 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 really wanted. And the bank was happy to give us the money, you know. I remember sitting on the step of that house going, I guess we ought to pray about it. God, would you really like for us to have this house? We'd like to glorify you with it. Oh, sounds like he wants us to have it. That's about as much as went into that. We got lost pretty quick on that deal. The other thing is this. Not only when we begin to divorce money from our devotion, do we ask God to start blessing our financial deals, but when everything goes south, then all of a sudden we cry out to God. If today you went home or tomorrow you woke up and you lost everything, I guarantee you most of you would say, God, help me. God, everything I have is yours. And he may say, you have nothing. You have debt. That's what you have. Why didn't you give me everything before? I mean, why didn't you give me everything when it was going good? Well, because everything was going good. Here's the challenge. Why not invite him in now? You know? Why not invite him in now and stop divorcing these two things? When you get to the point of making God Lord of your finances, you're going to experience some things that only God can do. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing. When we begin to involve God in our finances, when we begin to see Him as the owner of everything, when we begin to see what He values, God begins to do some things in our lives that we could never create. And here's the purpose of this series. The purpose of this series over the next several weeks is this, and it's much like what Jesus said. It's not that I or this church wants something from you. We want something for you. We want something for you. We want you to be able to say, I surrender every area of my life to Him. Not just, God, I surrender to you my marriage. Not just, God, I surrender to you my kids. Not just, God, I surrender to you my career. But you can say wholeheartedly, everything I have is His. I want to surrender it all. Here's some of the things that we want for you. I want you to know the joy of experiencing God in your finances, because it's possible. I want you to be surprised by what He does, and God will show up in some of the most tangible ways when we begin to commit every area of our life to Him. I want you to be free to do whatever it is that God wants you to do. I've heard this statement so many times. If I was just in a position, if I had just been more responsible, if I was just in a position, I would take that vacation. I would be able to take that vacation for a short-term mission trip. If I was just in a position to be able to, there's this ministry, there's this nonprofit organization, there's this way of helping people that God has really laid on my heart. There's so much more that I wish that I could do. Have you ever been in a place where your heart exceeded your ability because of some wrong turns you made? Listen, you're not alone. Most of us have. You know what? I really feel like God would like for me to go back to school, but I just can't. I want you to be able to be free to do whatever it is that God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to know what it means to be financially secure. And I'm not talking about the amount of money. Hear me say that. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 21:20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. In the house of the wise are... he's talking about extra. He's talking about financially secure. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. There's extra. But we live in a culture that says, devour everything you have and then borrow more to devour. And that's the message that we hear. That's what we hear on a consistent basis. Spend everything you've got, devour everything you've got, and then borrow more to spend more on what you don't have. I want you to experience the joy of margin, of having space in your life to be able to bless and to be able to save and to be able to do the things that God wants you to do. I want us to learn to be content. Man, wouldn't that be incredible? And wouldn't it be awesome if when you see your friend or you see a neighbor and they've got just, the thing on four wheels that you've been wanting, that you've been debating about, you've been kind of going by the lot and lusting for it, and all of a sudden you see somebody that has one of those SUVs or little bitty cars or whatever it is, and it's so nice, and you're able to look at that and go, man, I'm so glad mine's paid for. And you're content. You go to the mall, and it's just like all those stores just scream at you, you need this. What you have is out of date, out of style. You need to have this. You need more of this. And here's a credit card, 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 and here's a credit card. You want to sign up for a credit card? Get a 15% discount today. And you're able to go, these jeans fit pretty good. This is probably the most comfortable clothes I have. I love it. You have your iPod, it's the size of a small spaceship, holds one whole gig, 200 songs. I got an iPod a year ago. You know what it's called this year? The iPod Classic. I've had it 1 year. You have somebody else pulls out their 80 gig, and you go, man, that's cool, that's awesome. You celebrate at what somebody else has, but you're content with what God's given you and what you have. And there's not this consistent pursuit that what we're actually running after is the next thing that we want. We've allowed the discontentment that rules our culture to rule us. We see somebody that has 12-inch crown molding. We have 6-inch crown molding. Mmm, love to have that 12-inch crown molding. Did you see her kitchen? Mmm, granite countertops. We see 12-foot ceilings, we want 12-foot ceilings. It's okay to buy, and it's okay to upgrade. The key is this, just don't be driven by it. Just don't be driven by it. First assignment's this. Some of you got this when you came in. I hope most of you did. You got a little thing that said treasure map on the front of it, and inside was a lot of inserts. There's a yellow sheet in there. I'm going to give you this. This is called treasure map ledger sheet, all right? It's yellow. Treasure map ledger sheet. And this is one of the first steps, really, I think one of the first practical steps in getting where we need to be. What we talked about earlier is, where am I? Where is it that I am? And when you and I begin to say, when we on that ledger sheet, you'll see, this is my total monthly income. These are my total monthly expenses. And for a lot of us, we would say, I really don't know where it goes. I'm not sure. Now, for Penny and I, we have had, in 16 years of marriage, we've had 35 different ways of doing a budget. What I'm talking about here is not a budget. All right? Hear me say that. I'm not talking about doing a budget. What I'm talking about is only being able to see what's coming in, what's going out, and where is it going. And for you to be able to know where it's going, listen, one of the things that we've done along the way, and one of those many ways of doing our budget or many ways of doing finances, is that somewhere along the way, somebody said to us, or we read, or God just hit us with it. I don't know what it was. But we started saving every receipt. Every receipt. And what happens is, at the end of the month, the first couple times you do that, and you take all those receipts and you add them up for this area and this category, and there's lots of categories on that ledger sheet, and you start adding up for this category and that category, it's not that you're surprised by the amount of what went out, because you pretty much kind of know the total amount that went out. You can see it in your checkbook. It's what it went for that you may go, whoa, I had no idea. I really thought it was kind of going for this. But once we added up all these receipts, it was actually going for this. And then you sit down and you look. Listen, this is a great exercise, whether you're married, if you're single, it's an awesome exercise to be able to look at where is everything going. And if we don't know where it went, whose fault is that? I mean, if you don't know where it went, it's really your fault. I mean, nobody like zaps your brain at the end of every day, you know, it just kind of empties it out. Where did it all go? And when we begin to use words like, you know, well, I think that, I guess it went, it seems like, listen, it seems to me should never be the first words in a sentence that talks about money, you know? I guess, I kind of think that should never be the first words in a sentence where we talk about money. And there's different personalities. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're hearing me talk about this and you're going, I'm just not wired that way. You know, that's just not me. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to saving every receipt and when it comes to looking at where we're spending money and when it comes to saying, God, what are your priorities? Are the ways that we're spending our money your priorities? And when we begin to just keeping track of all that is not my personality. That is not the way that I am geared. It's not the thing that I super enjoy. Now, my wife's a lot better at that. Some people really do enjoy that. Some people don't. And for some of us, it doesn't come natural, but hear me say this. It's mandatory. It may not come natural, but it's something in our lives if we are to be financially responsible. It's something we need to do. Now, some of you are going to say, now, Scott, you know, I'm left-brained, I'm creative, you know, I'm free-flowing, I do my own thing, I'm a nonconformist. I just don't know that this is really going to work for me. That's awesome. And I have a lot of friends who are that exact same way. I love them because they're not like me, they're wired different. But let me say this, when it comes to personal finances, you're going to need to have to harness that in some way because it's important. I mean, you don't pay your bills that way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't just call up KUB and say, you know, I'm not really a once-a-month kind of person. I'm just not really feeling it right now. I'm just more on the creative edge, you know, the creative bent. And when I really start, like, feeling it, I'll send it, maybe decorate the envelope, you know, pray over it, and send it in. And then we'll be doing what God created us to do in the dark. This is one of the things that you have to decide that you need to do. And it doesn't matter how much you make. Are you listening? It doesn't matter how much you make. When you know where it goes, it takes all the guesswork out of it. And you don't have to say, it seems to me. The opposite of lost is not found. The opposite of lost is knowing where you are and knowing where you want to go and how to get there. That's what we're talking about. This exercise will help you get where you need to be. Listen, what you have in your hands is a very spiritual exercise. You know why? Because you and I can't wholeheartedly say everything that I am is yours until everything that we have is His. We can't wholeheartedly follow the Savior. We can't be a disciple of His until every area of our lives is His. Will you try it? Would you be willing to try it? Just sometime over the next month, over the next 6 weeks, just take that, just drop every receipt into an envelope. If you don't have a receipt, jot it down on a piece of paper, add it up at the end of the month and say, God, what is it that you want us to do here? Everything we have belongs to Him. Everything. And we can't follow Him until everything we have is all His. Let's pray together.